Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of All Out with Madre Sotora Becky, also known as Forever Single Mai. Tonight's show, we are going to be talking unplugged, so listener discretion is definitely advised. Our show will be tackling a subject that is somewhat controversial, but some do find it unnerving. I have a wonderful, controversial, funny, and loud guest author tonight. And as always, we'll be keeping it real and raw. And as always, I'm very happy to welcome back my co-host and friend, Mikey Rowling. How are you tonight?
Hey, Becky, how you doing?
I'm great. So tell me about the guest we have tonight.
Well, this guest that we have, I'm very pleased that we were able to book him. He pretty much changed my life. Without further ado, I just want to go ahead and introduce the renowned traveler, musician, YouTuber, blogger, all-around Renaissance man, and the author of the new book, Just Another Book Niggas Ain't Gonna Read, internet legend in the manosphere, Marcus A. Brown. Marcus, say hello.
Marcus, welcome to the show.
I knew that was going to happen, so he's coming in here in just a minute, just having a little couple of technical difficulties, and you know what? I might get to reintroduce him.
he missed such a wonderful introduction.
While he's waiting on that, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with you this week, Becky. How things been going
okay.
with you?
Well, things are going well. I'm getting ready for surgery. And today we had actually child support court, which is kind of interesting regarding our guests. And I know that's one of his subjects he likes to talk about is basically owning your choice and, you know, just kind of doing your own thing and not depending on other people. So, you know, it was kind of ironic that we have him booked for tonight. But things were good. No changes in the child support, even though he tried to get decreased on something he doesn't pay. But, you know, regardless, I have my child, you know, with or without him. So it's all good.
There you go. You know, like I tell people, you're one of the few people. You know, I say this a lot. You're one of the few women that actually get it on both sides, right? So it's always a pleasure to be on the show with you. Because I know you advocate for great parenting, whether it's man or woman. So that's important for us to get that out there. You know, for me this week, you know, it was pretty active. I was pretty excited about the show tonight. And, you know, I had some things going on with some child support issues as well. Had to work them out through some strict communication and putting my foot down. So that's another good point. You know, even after you get through all the court and family courts and all the court orders and things, you still got to deal with the, you know, the relationship management behind the scenes. So, you know, things got pretty excited this morning over some subjects that I had to deal with, but, you know, we squashed it pretty quickly.
Well, that's good. I mean, regardless, you guys are supposed to be co-parenting. I mean, money, yeah, that's definitely a stressor and definitely kind of a hot topic, but, you know, in the end, it's always regarding the child.
What it's all about. So we're still dealing with some technical issues here, so just give him one more minute. He's calling in from the shy. You know, they got that, I forget who they have for internet service up there.
No worries. I wonder if they're having any weather issues. Like, I know out here in L.A., it is hot. It was, like, 110 out here today. So,
yeah,
I'm running.
L.A. seems to be a magnet for fires. What's up with that? Do people just start fires out there for the hell of it?
I know, right? I mean, everyone's trying to stay cool. I don't know what's going on with all these fires. Man.
Well, 110 is nothing in Texas. We deal with that all the time. So now, up in Chicago, I hear state with like 80 degrees, people start dropping like flies. So I'm just happy that I've been acclimatized to this weather down here. But I am looking to get up to Chicago towards the end of the year and visit one of my mentees that I have that I'm supporting up there.
Okay.
Supporting her and her to become a physician. So, you know, maybe in like 3 or 4 years, I might be able to get you some huge discounts on those surgeries.
That would be amazing, definitely. Well, that is very cool. Oh, goodness. Well, I'm excited to find out more about Marcus's book. I've been listening to him. He is quite funny in his YouTube videos. You know, he's quite loud, but that's what I like about him. He tells it like it's real, tells it, you know, just kind of a degaff attitude. And I love how he says that. You know, I'm always going to have haters. So
yeah,
I really appreciate a young guy like that.
He called them the faithful haters, right? So what I really marvel about with Marcus, and there's probably some people listening thinking, what is going on? He's coming in, I promise everybody. You know, some people like a dramatic build-up, right? But the thing that I marvel most about when I'm talking about him or even thinking about what he does is he's got this ability to appeal to both sides. Even his haters like to listen to him, right? And unlike a lot of haters that like to bash the person or try to bash the person, they don't really go at him like that. You know, they kind of come with a respectful slant with what they have to say. And he's able to, you know, take on the nuances of that, dodge it here and there, and come back with something awesome or some world-renowned meme. He's a meme master, too. So I've seen him have entire conversations with people using nothing but memes with no words in them, just, you know, just implied language. My favorite is that kangaroo.
Kangaroo? What? I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
What is that one about?
It's a big, muscular, beefy kangaroo that just kind of sits there like, yeah, what's up?
So, oh, my goodness. That is too funny.
Yeah, so let's see. The other topic that came up this week, you know, and I hesitate to go there. He may have something to say about it, but, you know, everybody's been talking about the NFL and Trump, and you may have saw his take on Trump. Did you?
I did. I do know he was a big supporter, so I actually wanted, that was one of my questions, to find out kind of where he stood on that stance with do you kneel or do you stand up? Because myself, my whole family's ex-military, so, you know, I'm one of those bleed blue and red and white and very American. You know, we were taught to stand and salute the flag. So, I don't know. I always like to find out kind of different people's views on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I get it. So, you know, I didn't make much of a note of that when you and I met, but I am indeed a Trump supporter, too. So you and I might have to have a show talking about conservative men, you know, because you got two of them that's going to be there in just a minute. And that's going to probably go a long way to maybe incite some responses. And,
that's okay. I won't take anything personal, and I hope we all are still friends after.
Oh, yeah. You know, it is all out. So.
Exactly. That's how I like to do it, you know, just keep it real, keep it raw, and at the end of the day, we'll still have a beer together.
No doubt. So I am in communications with Marcus right now, so I know the crowd is waiting. You know, the energy is building. You know, maybe, you know, we might start a chant here, math, Math. So just a quick background. The way I ran into Marcus was, I call it the Mother's Day Massacre of 2014 when I found out, what my ex thought of me. And we sat down. I took her to a nice restaurant, spent about $300-some on a meal. It was Mother's Day. And I just wanted to do something nice for her, right? And counter to what I was really feeling, I said, you know what, let me do something nice. So I took her to this very nice restaurant, and we sat there, and I bought a $125 bottle of wine, and I didn't drink much of it. I gave it to her, and she just let it all flow. And basically, she told me some things that really shocked me, like she didn't really like the people we lived around. She didn't like where we lived. And I lived in some of the best places, to raise children, some of the highest-ranked neighborhoods in the Metroplex. But she just told me a whole bunch of things, and I just sat there and listened. And after that, I took on the task of finding out a way to never let that happen to me again. So the first thing I did is I said, you know what, I've got to do some research. I looked online, and I found a group of men saying, hey, you know what, maybe you should just take some time away from women and get yourself together. The big word was self-actualization, right?
Mm.
I kind of read from Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? But I'd never really gone into it. Next thing you know, 6 months goes by, and I hadn't gone on a date, and I just stopped paying attention, to dating and trying to be, have a woman in my life like that. And sure enough, in October of that year is when I ran across these group of red pill folks. The movement's called Men Going Their Own Way. So I started listening, and, the red pill rage flowed out of me. I was very angry when I found out about what I allowed myself, what I allowed to happen to me. And sure enough, that's when I came across one of his works. I may have shared it with you, but it's called Man Versus the State. And I think that's one of the best works of red pill or MGTOW that's ever been released on the Internet. I swear by it. And if somebody wanted to ask me what's the best episode of any show that I could give them to understand what it's about, that would be the first one. So he's really my Internet idol. So after that, I went on my first date in May of that next year. But at that point, I had cleansed myself. And I had actually gotten to the point where I didn't feel the desire to have a woman in my life like that. And once I broke through that, I came out of that red pill rage, started seeing how Marcus was able to interact with women without being angry and actually have these women like him and want to go out with him, even though he was very clear and upfront with what his stance was on relationships. That helped me know that I could do it. And now, 3 years later, life is golden.
Okay. How do women respond to that when you basically tell them up front, like, hey, I like you, but I'm doing my own thing. It's not really about you, but, kind of it is what it is kind of situation.
I'll be very clear on this. I'd say about only 4% of women that I talk to are open to that. Marcus is not the only person that I've learned from. I've got some other mentors online who I studied their works and looked at how they interact and how the type of relationships that they are able to create and maintain. So most of the time, I expect that most women are not going to be able to hold to that expectation. So what I had to do, I'm a simple guy. So I had to come up with a simple framework to work within. And that framework I pulled from a gentleman by the name of Jay Duvall, and we can talk about him another time, but what I studied his work, and he says that, a man should seek a woman who is considerate of him, cooperative with him, financially responsible for herself, and physically fit. There are many reasons that fall up under those four categories. Everything else flows from there. So I'm very upfront and open with women that these are the four things that I require. And most of them fade away, and that works for me because it means I don't have to deal with them. And so about 96% of women just kind of go the other way. You add to that, for me personally, I really don't date women that you know, embrace fake hair or just have skank attitudes that are, I mean, especially the ones that feel entitled to something before we've ever even done anything. I'm supposed to go into my pocket and reward her. So my motto is I spend money on women that I'm dating pretty much after we've established a relationship. But up until that point, they're going to have to demonstrate that they are financially responsible for themselves and the rest. That makes sense?
Okay. It does. So it sounds like you're definitely not an old school guy that you would take out a woman on the first date, like, you know, paid for the date and all that. Do you expect them to go Dutch?
Yes, absolutely. Now the funny part is the women that are open to it, they have no problem. You know, some men would say that a woman expecting a man who does not know her to come out of his pocket to pay for her on a date that she's on and she's having a good time as well is akin to paying a woman, exchanging money with a woman for your for certain things like sex. Let's just say it. It's akin to paying for a prostitute. Women don't like to hear that, but no woman yet has been able to explain to me why I should come out of my pocket to pay for her way on a date that we're both on, we're both having a good time. So if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is we have had so much trouble getting him in, and I really need to get him on. Do you mind if I just call him and bring him in on this line?
Yes, of course. Let's do that. Well, you're doing that. Let's go ahead. I will talk about him a little bit. And for him, I'm actually really interested to find out how he wrote his last book. And it's controversial because he does use the N-word. And so that's why I did give the viewer discretion advice at the beginning. Myself, I'm a single mom of two sons that are mixed. They are half black, half Hispanic. And the N-word to me is very derogatory. And I've always taught my kids, you know, to not accept being called that. And I even remember a time with my oldest when he was in school that a kid was calling him the N-word. And he was so upset. He was probably like 7 years old at the time. And he would basically pick on him, call him that name. And the only way that he actually got it to stop was when he turned around and hit him in the nose. So my thing is, I wasn't very happy that he got in trouble for hitting this kid, but it also did stop this kid. So when I picked him up from school that day, and poor thing, he was ready to cry. He was so upset that it happened. I took him for ice cream because I was proud of him for standing up for himself, for you know, just basically standing up as a kid and not as a black kid, because I don't want race to be an issue, but unfortunately in this day and age it still is. And so that's why I say that this show is going to be a little controversial tonight, because we will be kind of delving into that, talking about his book, talking about music. I don't know. It's interesting because in the culture, you know, they do say that, you know, nigger and bitch and ho and all this in rap music. And I don't understand that. Because if that's your kids that they're talking about, how would you feel? So I can't wait to discuss that with Marcus and see what his thought is on that. And, you know, kind of find out where he was thinking about. So.
All right.
Mikey.
Hear me now?
I do.
Okay, so I've got him on my other line. So we're going to pull back the curtain just a little bit here. Let's see if we can hear him. Marcus, can you hear us? All right, I'm going to try to get rid of the echo here in just a second. Hey, Becky, can the producer bring in my other phone number?
Yeah, text me the number so I can let her know.
All right. All All right. It's in your inbox.
There we go. We got it. We are working on it right now.
Yeah, it's the technology, folks. Through this. We'll make it through it. I think about 100 years ago, we were using a string and tin cans.
Well, I know you were there, but I wasn't.
That was a good one. That was pretty good if I had to use that one.
All right. I think we're all set now.
All right. Let me see if we got it.
So we are still working on getting Marcus in. He is calling in from Chicago. So there has been a little bit of technical issues, but he is very excited to be here.
All right. All right.
Marcus.
Hey.
Okay, it seems like we may still have some issues trying to get him in. But I know my producer and Mikey are working on it. Yes.
Okay, I just told him to try to call in again. I've got him on my line. Apparently my line is not getting patched through.
Hello?
Yes, now we can hear you. Hello.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yes, perfect. Okay,
we're
all good now. The great and funny as hell, Marcus A. Brown. How are you?
I'm good, Becky. Nice to finally speak with you. How y'all doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. All right, well, you missed such a wonderful greeting from Mikey. He had a great intro on you.
I heard it. That was that was the best intro ever. I'm honored. I was listening the whole show, and I just kept speaking. I'm like, man, is something wrong with my phone? I know I paid the bill. What's going on? I appreciate that, Brother Mikey.
Oh, we got it, man. We got it. So, hey, Becky and Marcus, if you guys don't mind, I know we got a shortened schedule now, so I want to go ahead and get into this. Now, Becky, I know we wanted to talk about the book and the use of the N-word. So, if you don't mind, I want to kind of into that, and Marcus, let you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the book, and then Becky will ask you some questions here.
Okay, cool. I don't think I could introduce myself any better than you did. I'm honored. I'm just a guy on the internet that talks a lot of crap. I write blogs, I do YouTube videos. I recently just released a book under my own publishing company. As Mikey stated earlier, it's called Just Another Book Niggas Ain't Gonna Read, and it's kind of like a self-help guy from an internet troll perspective.
I love that. I love
Can you talk about quickly here, Becky? I want to. Can you give us what gave you the idea for the title, Marcus?
That was a story with me and Aaron Clary. It was really more of an inside joke. Aaron Clary is another author, a friend of mine, and a mentor. I'm actually a fan of his, and I've been reading a lot of his books, and I had the opportunity to help him put together called The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. So he pretty much wrote the book and just would bounce ideas off of myself and different other, let's just say, urban guys, black guys that he knows, because he wanted to make a self-help book that was catered to African-Americans. So the book did pretty good, but it got a rough start because people criticized it. They said, why is this white guy writing a book for black men? And so me and Aaron would joke about that. I said, hey, don't worry about it. You know, that happens and niggas don't read. That was like how I said it. And it just kind of, I don't want to say slipped out like that. But from there, I told him, I said, hey, you know what? I could write the same book and people wouldn't have that excuse for it. They just wouldn't read it. And I said, I'm going to write a book called Just Another Book Niggas Ain't Gonna Read, just to be a troll about it. But like I said, this was really just a joke. But I guess it was funny. And every time I would see or speak to Aaron, he would ask me, like, hey, how's that book coming along? How's the book? And I told him I was playing, but, you know, after a while, I just thought about it, like, man, maybe I should write this book. And as Mikey can tell you, I'm always getting flagged or kicked off of the social media pages, Facebook and YouTube and whatnot. So I had a lot of time. I had actually 60 days to really sit down and seriously write it because I wasn't on social media.
I love that story.
That's really what it was. Yeah, what really humbles me is that the title and the cover, if you've seen the cover, it can be controversial and kind of it's intentionally offensive. It's like a triggering title. But besides that, I pretty much wrote a lot of content, a lot of common sense principles and ideas that I already speak on social media. So the people who follow me, they, for the most part, have enjoyed it. Everyone who's read it has given me good reviews. But the people who just, they're not familiar with me or the type of topics we discuss, they just get triggered by the title or, you know, somebody having the audacity to write that book.
And then based off that.
Yeah. And let me say this, too. A lot of people told me don't say that. You know, it was funny at first, and then it hit like a hurdle where they were like, okay, are you seriously going to write that? I don't think it's a good idea. But I tell people that that's the audience that I want to reach. They're receptive to that type of language. I'm not saying it's the best language to use, but, I mean, it's not new, like you all said earlier. It's in our music and our entertainment and comedy and things like that. So I'm not the first person. It's just in a best what makes people raise their – that's what gets people offended because it's in a book, but – before that, I was rapping, and I use that word all the time in music, and nobody cared.
Exactly. Hey, let me jump in here one more time because I have to give a disclaimer. I never use the word, but in the context of this session that we're doing now, it's the title of the book, so I'm going to use the liberties and freedom of speech to use this term because it is – it is representative of what we're talking about here, but in my regular life, it's not a word that I use. I feel that's a disgusting word as well. But tonight, you know, this is all out. So, Becky, feel free to jump in and ask the questions that you have.
Okay, so, I mean, kind of going off the book, have you ever been called the N-word?
Yeah, I can't really say I've been so offended by it that it, I don't know. I get called a lot of names and it slid off my back. Unless it was like to my face, I probably don't remember. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I've been called every name in the book.
Aww.
Let me give you some.
My kids are mixed. So, you know, I always taught them, you know, try not to make it a race thing. But I mean, I always felt the N-word was kind of controversial, very kind of derogatory. And I was telling a story while I was waiting for you about my son who clocked some kid in the nose for calling him the N-word. And instead of, you know, punishing him, I actually took him out for ice cream.
Oh, wow.
I was so proud he stood up for himself. And so,
yeah.
You know, it is very controversial. So, so growing up, I know you kind of do everything. You YouTube, you rap. What really was your inspiration for everything?
Honestly, everything I'm doing now is just inspired by, I guess, being exiled from old circles. Because I used to dibble and dabble with rap music in the Chicago scene. I still keep in touch with some of the artists, but not so much. What else? I used to do film. I went to school for digital multimedia. I still enjoy that, but I think I'm just so picky with who I want to work with and what I want to do. it's kind of like a perfectionist, a curse of being a perfectionist. I think this is like a combination of all the things that I used to do, and it either didn't work out, or like I said, I got exiled from those crowds because I'm known to speak my mind in ways that that's unpopular. You know, I'm not. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to comment on something you said before I got on. You said I was loud. That was my first time hearing that. But thinking about it, like listening to my videos, I could see where, my videos is a replacement of me rapping. So since I'm not on the stage anymore, I'm just like sitting in my basement in a booth somewhere yelling at the microphone. And I think that's where that comes from. But I got the pleasure to meet Brother Mikey when I was down in Texas. I don't know if he'll agree with me or not, but I'm more like introverted. I think this is just something I enjoy doing, you know, in my own space.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. Introvert is the word that I'll use, so it was quite shocking. I expected when I met him that he was going to go, "Hey, what's up, Brother Mikey? Yo, let's go do this. Let's go get down the door. Let's go to the apartment."
A lot of people. I'm real chill. I mean, I have my moments where I can turn up like that. It usually like when I'm with my own crowd that I'm comfortable with, or heaven forbid you see me under the influence of something. That's when you meet the alter ego, either that or on YouTube. But I mean, it is all me. This is really how I speak or how I feel. It's how I think. But I think social media, unless you know a person personally, you know, everybody takes what they see online for face value, but in reality, I'm just like a real quiet guy. Like, I don't really have a lot to say.
Well, it seems like you have plenty to say when the microphone's on, so that's why Mikey and I were like, all right, we're going unplugged. So I had a couple other questions. So what is your biggest, weirdest fear?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What is your biggest or weirdest fear?
Going to jail. That's my biggest fear. I've never been to jail. I've never had any kind of criminal background. That terrifies me, but I think what scares me more is going, getting in some type of trouble for something unnecessarily. If I got in some legal trouble for something that I actively decided to do, like, you know, I got in an altercation and I said, "Hey, I'm gonna beat this guy up or something," then I got myself to blame. But I think my biggest fear, and it may segue into some of the topics that you all were discussing, was some of the stories I've heard. I know guys that's doing time for domestic issues, some things that were their own fault and some things that wasn't their fault. Even not necessarily going to jail, but just fighting. There's a lot of simping. I don't know if y'all talked about that or not. Like a lot of simping and white knighting going on. I'm always on the lookout for that because even though I don't go out actively looking for trouble, I know that, you know, that happens out here.
Okay. So you just kind of keep it on the low where you don't want to get in trouble.
To answer your question, that's my biggest fear, going to jail. That's like the only every other fear I could think of, I've pretty much been forced through already, and that's what enables me to just let things roll off my back. I used to have a fear of being unaccepted or being criticized. I had a fear of rejection, especially rejection from women. I had fears of just being the guy that everybody made fun of. And like I said, through different experiences, life has brought me through different experiences where I've had to face all that against my will. So after you've been through that, it's like, okay, all I'm worried about is going to jail or being physically harmed. But other than that, it's really, I don't know, nothing scares me that I can think of at the moment.
All right,
that could be
fair.
A gift and a curse.
Well, I can't say the same about jail. I've been there, done that. So I don't think anything is a fear.
I, Yeah, I don't want to necessarily demonize people who have had that experience either, because like I said, I got friends and relatives, and knowing what they went through, I don't even know completely what they've been through, but seeing the character that it has, I don't know. I got mixed feelings about it. Like, I don't want to go to jail. And don't take this the wrong way. I'm making a joke here, but I'm envious of people physically when they come out of jail. So if there's some type of fitness program that I need to get into, like a jail workout or something, I'm seriously jealous of guys that go to jail and they come back swole, because it ain't working for me. And I used to be like, damn, do I need to go to jail to get some muscles or something? What's going on? But
it's the downside, I'll tell you that.
The whole fearless, and let me say this too, veterans, you know, people who've been, I respect veterans, and the ones who I've talked to, they had it, I don't want to say the same type of resolve, but a similar resolve that I admire. If you see me in person, like, I'm just this real short, skinny guy, so, like, I don't know, I need to put myself through some type of physical training, so I've been doing this fasting now. And this ketogenic diet, I know it's kind of getting off topic, but yeah, man, like I said, it's pros and cons to everything. So the people who went through that may be a fear, either it's something they learned from and they don't want to go back, or it's something that an experience they have and they've conquered the fear of that. That's something that I haven't done.
Okay. Well, talking about diets, tell me about the red pill and how did you get involved in everything with that?
The red pill, or the manosphere as they call it, my story is similar to Mike, what he said about I was going through relationship issues, and I actually got on the internet and I was looking for a relationship, like dating advice and relationship advice, and from there I came across Tom Likas. That's another radio guy. He has a lot of old content for bachelors. Like, he kind of caters to the single male audience. But yeah, I was going through it. I was going through a lot of breaking up and making up, and I had some time to myself while I was still trying to figure out how to fix relationships that wasn't working. And I came across Tom Likas. From Tom Likas, I came across Barbara Rosa, Stardust. These are like older MGTOW, within that MGTOW community. And even women, Girl Writes What, and there's other people I can't even think of. And from there, Sam, and like, yeah, we could talk about the list of names forever, but it's similar to what Brother Mikey described. You go through this shock because it's something that you're not expecting. I was looking for advice more along the lines of, you're not buying her enough flowers, or maybe you should, like, take her on a date. You know, stuff like that. I was just trying to find ways to fix my situation, and it ended up giving me the fortitude to just give myself time and space. And I went through the same red pill rage that everybody else goes through, and after that I just kind of came out of it. When you got time alone, you got time to work on yourself to, like, fix yourself financially, mentally, emotionally, and things like that. And, over time, you get better over time. And I've been contributing to the Manosphere off and on ever since.
Okay.
So let me – I have a question about the other pills, Marcus. Bro Marcus, can you talk about purple pill and blue pill quickly?
Okay, yeah, these are terms like blue – the red pill, that's – I don't know if y'all said this already, but it comes from the whole Matrix analogy of, if you take the red pill, you get to see reality, you know, how deep the rabbit hole goes and things like that. The blue pill is a metaphor, that's like a term for guys who choose not to go down that path. They rather just stick to what they know, stick to what we've all been taught in terms of dating and relationships and the expectations of men and society in general. So, if you hear MGTOW or red pillers, if you hear them use this terminology, they may say, like, oh, this guy's a blue pill guy. and they basically saying he's not receptive to the type of conversations we have. Instead, he's just sticking to what he knows, whether it's working for him or not. Purple pillars are, those are like hybrids. Like, I guess sometimes I could be labeled as a purple pillar, just a guy that's familiar with the terminology, familiar with the theories of male and female nature. And it's like we have a good understanding of all these things, and we've seen it in practice, but we still choose to engage with women and dating. And, you know, we tend to do things on our own terms, even though we know all the risks.
Exactly.
Okay, so how does women, I mean, I'm getting old. I'm almost 40. So how does somebody in your age group, like, I guess, react to that, you know, basically that, you know, they're not, or I should say that they're expecting to be taken out and wined and dined. I mean, how do you feel that they react to that?
Like how do women my age respond to the red pill or that had that kind of lifestyle? I get mixed responses. You know, you got some. Well, let me say this: a lot of women aren't even in tune with it. They may hear MGTOW here or there, or I think women are more familiar. Women at large are more familiar with PUAs or pickup artists, and they're familiar with them because these are the guys that kind of teach other men how to be successful with women and get intimacy. You know, how to get laid. So sometimes we get misconstrued with the PUAs because there are PUAs in the manosphere. But for the most part, the women I've come across, they're familiar with my content or the content that I share on social media, but they don't pay attention to that. They don't, unless we have a conversation like you and I are having, I don't think they really care. And that's fine. You know, that's not a bad thing. But then you do have some women that are familiar with it and they either make a conscious decision to get familiar with it so they can know these talking points and they can actually make really good conversation for the women that are that are genuinely interested in this type of discussion. And then you got the women that are just, like, completely turned off. But, like, you know, they may be familiar enough to the point to know that a lot of the manosphere is very critical of feminism and mainstream talking points. So, like, they'll hear something that we say or something, you know, they'll hear a talking point that you'll hear from the manosphere and they'll just instantly be turned off. So it's like a really good filtration type system.
Yep. Hey, so I want to jump in and give a key note that I found. A lot of women, when they hear this conversation, they go, oh, you're the equivalent of a feminist. And one of the things that's key to understand, Becky, is that MGTOW, or men going their own way / red pill, we're nothing like feminism because feminists rely upon the government or male authority to enforce the rules that benefit them. MGTOW don't do that. We choose to opt out of the whole traditional relationship, society telling us what to do, and again, go back to ourselves and self-actualize to find our own happiness and let no one disturb that. So that's one of the key factors for women that I found when I explained to them, because you got to understand, my license plate, and Marcus can tell you this, my license plate is MGTOW, the only one in Texas, right? So I find that most women kind of react as if it's a female-hating group. But MGTOW, you know, once guys come out of the red pill rage, there's nothing about hate. It's about self-understanding and taking care of yourself and not sacrificing yourself for the what we call the gynocracy, right? For lack of a better word.
Yeah.
So.
That was a really good point to make.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
I want to throw out a couple of words, Becky, so that the audience can definitely understand where we're coming from. One of the major words that Brother Marcus deals with this in his book is the word hypergamy. But Marcus, Bro Marcus, can you go into hypergamy for a second?
Yeah, hypergamy is a term that a lot of the manosphere used to describe the tendency for women to date up. And what we mean by that is, you know, like, generally speaking, and it goes, I'm going to go explain the male equivalent of this too, but for the most part, when women say they want a man that is either, like, on their level, this is the times that I hear a lot of times, I want a man that's on my level or a man that's about something. That may be what they describe verbally, but in reality, what most women gravitate towards is somebody who is kind of on a higher level than they are, either socially, financially, physically, things like that. And the opposite is also true with men. I called it male hypergamy. And there's another author, shout out to Bobby Sonoy. He actually described it better than I did, describing it as hypogamy, like hypogamy. And that's kind of the equal opposite to what women tend to do. So men tend to date down, meaning, you know, if I make a certain amount of money or I have a certain perceived social status, I know that I can attract women that are either equal or below that, because to them I'm a step up, I'm not a step down. And I want to say, from my experience, that tends to be the natural order of how men and women date. I'm not saying that there aren't exceptions, but when men speak of hypergamy, that's what they're talking about.
All right.
Okay.
I would say that's been my experience too.
All right.
Yeah,
so here's
a lot
a question
of guys,
of
when they hear about it. Oh, go ahead.
So my question I'm dying to ask is, what made you get a vasectomy at such an early age?
Hold up.
Well,
Brother Marcus. Whenever
yes,
I bring up topic of male reproductive rights or men taking taking
control, like birth control, male
rights,
birth control.
Most women get a little bit testy about it, but I'm gonna let you go ahead and go because you did it, right?
Oh yeah, I gotta tell you, I get mixed responses with that too, and I think that's what helps me stay balanced, because I get flack from both sides. You know, I get guys that's giving me crap because of what they might call white knighting or still caping and all that, but that's what I enjoy doing. But I'm also aware of the pitfalls, and that's what kind of makes me more red pill. But yeah, about the vasectomy, it was really just about male birth control. I wanted it at a young age. One of my best friends had a kid our junior year. He was 16, and this was a well known guy in Chicago, basketball player, not an NBA player or nothing, but you know, high school was his prime. Let's put it like that. And yeah, he was just knocking up all the cheerleaders. one of my other friends that was rapping, he was having kids, and I mean, I would get lucky every now and then, but I really wasn't getting as much action as these guys were. So I admired them in that regard, but what was like a red flag to me was once the tables started turning, you know, because it was like, if you're a popular guy or you're the guy that all these girls want, you're in control. You don't really follow too many chicks around. They're following you around because you're the prize at that time. But all it took was these guys to get the girls pregnant. They didn't have any say-so on whether or not they would be a father or not. You know, they always tell guys, like, hey, once you get her pregnant, that's on you. And, you know, it's pretty much your fault, even though it was her decision, whether she wanted to keep it or not. And I really got to see up front, up close and personal, the tables turn from, you know, these guys being kind of, you know, the ones being pursued to now they chasing behind their baby mamas. And I didn't like that. I didn't like, you know, I got brothers in California that had domestic issues with the mother of their children. And I just was always like, man, I'm not trying to get nobody pregnant. I didn't know anything about a vasectomy until I started truck driving. And that was trucking was like the first industry I got into that offered any kind of benefits. And from there, I found out that it was covered under the the benefits package that I had for a job. And so I was ready that day. I'm like, look, sign me up. I'm ready to do this. And and the doctor, I don't know if you heard the story. Yeah, I went to these consultations and they kept sending me back. They was like, come back 6 months later. And then 6 months later, they come back 6 months later, and they just didn't want to do it because I was young. I was 21 with no children, and I ended up getting it at 22.
Yeah, see, Marcus, Mike, you did tell me about that, and it's crazy because I have a kid that young, and I don't know what I would say if he came home and said, Mom, you know, this is what I'm going to do. You know, can you be there for me? I mean, the RN and me says, yeah, let's do it. But the mom and me is like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how my mom was. My mom, she knows me. My mom knows me really well. So she's kind of like, if I bring something up to her, she's going to ask me like, oh, yeah, you did it already. So I asked her about it. I just asked, you know, because before then, I've dated. Oh, that's another thing. I guess that speaks to my dating history. But I have a history of dating single mothers as well. So I'm not saying that gives me the experience of a father, but that was like a short introduction. But the good experiences that I've had from that is, like I said in the video, I'm not afraid of children. I'm more so concerned with baby mamas. That's what I was really afraid of. Whether I was able to articulate that back then or not. So, but yeah, my mom, she's learned to accept it, but yeah, she kind of reacted the same way.
Nice. Okay. Well, we are, looks like we have time for one more question. So, looks like my last one, I'm going to say, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I would just be surprised that he actually showed up to that. I was, you know, I would be surprised that I made it that far, and I would be surprised that he, of course, he would know who I am, but that he has anything to say, you know. But I would like to know where I weigh on that scale, because I know I can do some ratchet things. I can be off the cuff at times, but I try to compensate for that with at least some type of charity or some type of good deed. So, I want to say that's the best I can do, but it's also the most fun I've had. So I feel like I'm living more than I have before put us here for. If that was my purpose here, then I feel that I'm doing it.
Okay, that's fair. Mikey, did you have any questions you'd like to ask before we close?
Oh, you know, I was going to talk about wealth, travel, brothers, bros, dating, kids, millennials, dating and marriage, you know, family.
We definitely have to have him back because I feel like we have so much more to talk about.
The only thing I would love to
come back anytime.
Well, bro, Marcus, well, the only thing I wanted to ask is what's the future of the MAB experience?
Actually, I want to kind of go in the direction, go back to my roots with the music and the charity. Right now I'm volunteering with one of the oldest mentors, well, I don't say oldest, but the mentors that I've had for the longest, Brother Enoch Muhammad of Hip Hop Detox. And so we're doing like a males to men program. That's actually something they initiated. I'm just jumping on the bandwagon with it. But through them and through my bro Lance from Access Granite and even the MAB Experience LLC, we're looking to do some charitable work in Chicago. And part of the reason I want to do that is because, you know, that's what I initially was doing in my quote-unquote pro-black days. But even on top of that, I think it – right now, it would even be more fun combining that with the ratchetness because I'll give you a little insight on what's going on. Some of the charitable donations I'm about to make are actually proceeds from the book. So it's going to be funny knowing that, you know, we helping kids learn how to record, do audio-visual work in the studio, Now that I'm a publisher, I can help kids that want to write ebooks or write books. I can kind of walk them down that path and show them how to do it. And all that came from a book, you know, the title of that book. So it's funny when I work with these community organizers, and it's like my resume is not exactly the cleanest, but it's not as dirty as, you know, some of the other guys either. So they, I don't know, people don't know what to do with me right now, but I'm loving it.
That
right.
is so awesome.
Well, hey, one more time. Can you give us the name of the book? I've used up my quota of the N-word for the night.
Yeah, it's called Just Another Book Niggas Ain't Gonna Read. It's available on Amazon and paperback and Kindle format. And I had the audio book out shortly. We're recording the audio book now.
Go get it, y'all.
Definitely. So, wow, look at all the time. It sure has definitely flown by. It's almost time to say goodbye. I would love for Marcus to say the last words. What advice would you leave our listeners with, Marcus?
Let's just learn from each other, because all of this, everything we go through is a learning experience. If we can help other people and give them our own thoughts and ideas and experiences, it's up to the individual if they want to take it or leave it. Or, you know, some things I may say, or Becky or Mike may say, some things you may be receptive to, some things maybe not. But that's the whole purpose of this dialogue and this kind of discussion, just to inform people. And from there, we can continue to not only improve our own lives, but hopefully improve the lives of others.
Love that. Well, I would love to have you back when we get back on air in January. So, as always, Mikey, thanks for joining us. Marcus, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, y'all.
All right. Well, I would love to thank all our sponsors, listeners, and, of course, our network family. Make sure you stay connected to Sage Network by liking, following, and hearting us on all social media at Sage Mentoring. And until next week, hug those babies since they grow too fast. Own your choice, and in love and light, good night.